I'm going to start out by introducing myself since I don't know all of you. I know some of you and familiar faces. My name is Dana Ernst. Think banana and you'll say Dana. And I'm okay if you walk up and you're like, hi, Dana, you know, because people have done that. Like, I'm saying banana and then you say Dana. Yeah. So I am married with children. I have a husband who farms. And then I have four boys and a girl from 23 down to 2.5. Busy harvest season just got over. I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off of me. Oh, I am fogging my glasses. I'm like super excited to talk to you about this. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
But I am a little nervous. So, and I'll tell you why I'm nervous. Like I can teach a game as the day is long and never be nervous. I can teach 100 kids, whatever. But this is my personal journey I'm sharing with you. And I hope it blesses you. One of my favorite things to do is to sit with girlfriends in my front room and share our journey together. And to share what God's doing, where we're broken, what we're not hearing clearly. And this is what I want to share with you. But, you know, the nerves kind of take over a little bit, and I could use some real good prayer right now. So, we're going to pray for me, and then we're going to pray for you, and then we'll dig in. Okay, you ready? All right. Father God, you are a good God, and I thank you, Lord, that last August, you started me on a journey of exploring the truth behind friendship. I thank you for the friendships and the girlfriends that are even praying for me right now. Pray, Lord, that you would calm my nerves, wash your peace over me, but also, God, that each of these women, they are here for a reason. They chose to listen for a reason, Lord, that you brought them here, that you would speak to their hearts, that if the truth that I speak is something that they can learn, repent of, change, do, make active in their lives, God, I pray you would give them the energy and the wisdom and the clarity to do so. We love you, Jesus, in your name, amen. Okay, so, like I said, last August, I was listening to a podcast by Jackie Hill Perry and her husband, and they brought up this book, Friendish, because they were talking about friendships, and it was really good. If you ever want to look it up, I don't know if we have any more at the table. I saw a few people walk away with one. Good book. My daughter, who's 17, has read it. She, with my help, wrote a paper and gave a speech on it. And so I'm going to be referencing Friendish quite a bit. The other one that God led me to was this one called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And my mom and I met in Indianapolis at the Revive Our Hearts conference last September. And it was there that I bought this book. And it was the next step of what God was showing me through his word. This was a huge blessing. And again, this one's at the table. I'm introducing these right now so that you know as I'm like talking about them, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, third one is Risen Motherhood. A lot of you listen to this podcast. And they very clearly, if you've never been exposed to them, apply the states of life to the gospel. How do we view this through the lens of the gospel? And so with that, God kind of took me on this journey, and looking back on my friendships, including a kind of confusing one that recently happened. Classy, right? But nice and big. And I really like the Hawaiian Islands. All my stickers. Okay. So those are the three books that God brought me a lot of clarity through, which took me back to Scripture. So I'm also going to, one thing I want to say about these books. If you can't find time to read a book, here's my key to doing it, is I have Audible. So I will buy the hard copy. I will see if it's worth it. I'll read like the first chapter. I know it's an expensive way to learn, but you know what? It's my continuing education. So I'll download that and I'll have the hard copy with me, and I can highlight, and I'll run over. I'll be doing dishes. I'll listen. I'll run over. I'll highlight, and that's how I keep. I destroy my books. I write in the margins. I highlight. My daughter Sadie's like, "What color is me?" You know, like she's like, "Where do I highlight?" If she borrows a book, She's like, stick with green, Mom, then I can use blue. And I'm like, whatever, if it's a crayon, I use it. But that's my key to getting through books, because in this busy season of life, I really fall asleep reading right now. You know, I get 10 minutes in by my bedside, and I plot away. But, you know, that's just an encouragement to you if you're like, my word, how does she read? I'm going to look at the passage Ephesians 4, and we're going to jump into that pretty soon. So get yourselves ready for that. A little bit about my friend journey. I had a best friend in fifth grade. Her name was Jenny. I called her Lodi Jenny because I eventually moved to Pleasanton and I had Pleasanton Jenny. And Lodi Jenny, her husband's actually a pastor down south. He worked at under Al Mohler and was hired by him to teach marriage counseling. And then they moved to Southern California. And he went to Grace Seminary and is now a pastor down there. So it's kind of amazing where we started out in fifth grade and came this far. I don't talk to her very often. When we connect, you know, it's like landing a plane. We're right there on the same runway. But it's amazing how God has used her in my life. I wasn't walking with the Lord. I was pursuing him in my late teens, early 20s, but I was living a very simple lifestyle. And God strategically used Jenny to say, hey, let's go back and be camp counselors at the Christian camp we went to when we were little. I'm like, perfect. I was living down in Irvine and Newport Beach at the time, living the life, the beach life. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, let's go. So we did it. And then she's like, hey, why didn't you apply to Fresno State? I have a place for you to live. There's three other roommates. And we're involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. I met this guy. He's named Andrew, you know, which eventually became her husband. And I was like, well, that sounds good. I really want to go to Cal Poly. I need one more science. But I don't really want to take it in the summer because I want to go be a camp counselor. So I'll apply to Fresno. Clearly, I was like, you know, honing in on my education here. I was like, yeah, sounds good. So I applied to Fresno, we lived across the street in the Bulldogs, and it was three other girls and I. And it was during that time that God really sat me down. And there was one night I fell apart. You can't say it without crying. And I had this wall because totally distractible. You know, I had posters everywhere, beach posters and all these fun things. But I had this one giant blank wall. And I used to call it my prayer wall because if I stared at it, at least I would have clarity and not be seeing everything else in my life, you know. And I was like, and I called it my prayer wall. So I sat down, and it was in my room at Fresno State that God broke me. And it was there that I just told him, I said, you know what? I had met Mike, my husband, and we had started dating. I had come off of a long relationship of 3.5 years. I had a little break in them and Mike, but as many relationships do, they fizzle. And so there was already that split of my heart over the summer. But I just looked at God and I said, you know, take it all. Take my education. Take the man. I was running, you know, avid runner, and I was running like crazy. I said, take my legs because they meant something to me, as silly as that sounded. Because I knew that whatever was an idol in my life, just take it. Take my friends, because Jesus, all I want is you. I was done. I was spent. I was done trying to work so hard to be perfect and get my act together. And I was going to conquer the world. And I figured out that wasn't possible. And, you know, I had to lay it all down. So it was there. And how my point is, too, that how God used Jenny to draw, I didn't see back there. God used Jenny to draw me to himself. It was my friend. And it wasn't her all up in my business, but it was her listening to the Holy Spirit going, come on. She had relationship with me. She had history with me. She saw me walking. She saw me start to walk away. And she's like, come on back. Praise God for Jenny. College, marriage, moved to Modesto, didn't know a soul, and my friend named Michelle, some of you know Michelle Britton, Michelle was teaching at Big Valley, and through family, we were connected, We're not related, but families cross over as they do in Modesto because everybody's related. And at least back when I first got married, I was like, y'all are related, babe. No wonder you had to go out of the gene pool, you know, to find me. But families cross over, and so I met her, and she's like, hey, you know, my sister-in-law told me about you. And she kept saying, Kelly kept saying, you know, you two really need to meet. And she was pregnant with her firstborn at the time. She's like, hey, do you want to walk with me? And I'm like, walk? I'm a runner, you know. I don't walk, but I can try and walk because at the time I was even running cross country at Stan State. And she's like, no, let's meet up, let's walk. And eventually, she had Caitlin, and she would push Caitlin in the stroller when Caitlin's eating a little apple, and I'm literally like this, running next to Michelle because I'm like cramping. I've got runner's legs. She is trucking it like crazy. But we had the most amazing conversations, and she kept reaching out to me, let's walk, let's walk. And it was really through Michelle in that season of life that she taught me how to be a friend, how to be a friend with children. She would say, let's meet at the park, which is something that in the end of this, I want to brainstorm with all of you. In the different seasons of life that you're in, so kind of have this in the back of your head, in the different seasons of life that you're in, what can you do to be a friend? How can you reach out? What can you meet, you know, meet in the middle over? And so for me, it was going for a walk with Michelle. And then it was park days. And Mike even laughs. He's just like, you know, now that I have Beau, and Beau's 2.5, he's like, well, who are you going to meet at the park with? Mandy. Mandy, you want to meet at the park? Like, I literally have, you know. And so I'm all open for the park days. And so that meant a lot. We used park days. And then recently over, I had a friendship of about 8 years, probably even longer, that I was tight with this woman and this friend. I still consider her my friend, but things have fallen apart and I really needed to look back and say, God, what should I do differently? What did I do wrong? What do you want me to repent of? Because I'm not kind of clear. She's not totally clear. She's not asking anything of me. But we kind of fell apart. And God, through this journey of studying, he really drew me to Ephesians 4. And so that might not seem, you know, you think Proverbs, you know, we're like all over the place about friendship. And Proverbs, I mean, I encourage you, read through Proverbs, meditate on them. Like, how do I apply them? They are fantastic. But it was really Ephesians 4 that drew me in. And where I want to go with this right now is, I want to talk about being sisters in Christ. Yes, there's a lot of other friendships out there. Yes, there's us being friends with unbelievers where we need to have a heart of evangelism. Yes, there's friendships outside this church with the greater, larger body of Christ. Just like I have Michelle. She has my back. She texted me earlier, and I, you know, when we were singing, and said, I'm praying for you. And I said, you're one of the reasons I can do this. You showed me Jesus. So with that, I have some stuff written that came from my journal, and I'm going to look up and share some more. So bear with me with some of this that I've written, and hopefully you can walk through this with me, and I can be of an encouragement to you, like we were sitting in my living room. Sharing, look, this is where I've been. This is what God has taught me. And this is who Jesus is. All right, you guys ready? All right. Some of you may feel anxious over this topic. I wrote this to you. You may have been hurt by someone that you considered a friend and believed to be a professing believer in Christ. Some of you love the idea of friendship, enjoy friendships, and want to be encouraged in friendship. And maybe it's even come easy to you. And some of you find yourself somewhere in between those two. All of us need to seek to think biblically about all things pertaining to our Christian walk. And as I've grown in maturity, I find that even the smallest things, when I've sought the Lord in prayer and asked him, what am I not thinking rightly about? He's faithful to show me his wisdom through his word. And I say that because I realize that when I look back on friendships and even prior churches that I came from, you know, in my 20s, I'm not going to say yours, in my 20s, I was a can-do girl. You know, I'm like, I can do that. We can do that. What I missed was not all of us are the same, and we don't all think the same. And so to be prayerful about asking the Lord, if you're seeking Him in this situation, with this thing with my child, with this thing with my husband, what am I not thinking rightly about God? Because I think I got it in the bag. I think I'm right. I've lived enough years. I got some wisdom. That person told me this. Your word tells me this. But if I'm going to walk this walk and be sanctified through His holy grace, what am I not thinking rightly about? And friendship was one of the questions I asked Him. It's a generous gift to be loved by our Creator, that through His unfailing love for us, He desires to continually grow us up and out of what we think we've nailed down in this life. So I encourage you, hold your growth with an open hand. Today I want to counter some secular worldviews on friendship with the Word of God. Notice my caution cones, because I'm like, wait, caution. And they're clearly used. I had my husband clean them up for me. Secular worldviews on friendship through the Word of God help you understand more about biblical friendship so that we can lean into God's truth for us as believing women walking this life together. That is the purpose of this talk. Leaning into the Word of God so we can walk this life together. I will not be ending this with a set of rules or moral standards to how to be a good friend. We won't lay down on the proverbial couch and dissect your problem, my problem, or her problem. We don't need to. What I hope to leave you with is a challenge to prayerfully seek out friendships in the body of Christ. Okay? That's where I am today. I am not saying that you don't have friendships outside of the body of Christ, because clearly we need to evangelize and tell the good news to this world, right? But I want to offer you healing, hope, and friendship here. Unfortunately, in this broken world, there are broken friendships. Counterfeit concerns for one another with a payout of selfish gain, and togetherness that leaves one feeling still alone. Our world tells us friendship is to be fulfilling in and of itself, right? You see that all over Instagram memes, that friendship is where it's at. When we run to our friends instead of Jesus to fulfill our deepest longings, the result isn't a real friendship. This neediness eventually sucks the life out of our friendships and turns them into a shell of feel-goods and pats on the back. Deep, refining, honest conversation is replaced by shallow weather talk. Looking back to creation, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, believing this one thing would make them feel more fulfilled. Believing this lie, that what God had given them wasn't enough. And my point there, to reiterate that, is sometimes we can use friendships to fill that hole that only Jesus can. We hear that over and over again, but it's kind of like, instead of reading your Bible, you're reading Instagram. And I know that kind of seems like, well, yeah, Dana, no, duh, you know, we talk about that, but da-da-da-da, you know. No, but you know what? We wrestle with the Word of God. And when you're tired, picking up the Word of God is sometimes not the easiest thing to do, is it? And it's the same thing with friendship. You can call the friend. We can meet the friend. We can spend all our time pouring into our relationships, but never going to the relationship giver to pour into us so we have something to give back. The consumer friendship is the result of this selfish output, and we end up in counterfeit friendships. In fact, our consumer society is capitalizing on this idea of consumer friendships. Holidays have now been created around this desire for intimate friendship. The wording of this is a little wonky, but I have to read it to you. This came out of The Atlantic in 2017, Atlantic newspaper. Like Friendsgiving before it, which was similarly coddled in the crucible of the sitcom, Galentine's Day acknowledged a broad truth about American life as it's lived in the early 21st century. Friendships, increasingly, are playing an organizing role in society, long conceived as side dishes to the main feast, marriage, kids, and the nuclear family above all. Friendships more and more are helping to define people's sense of themselves in the world. During a time of emergent adulthood and geographic mobility, friendships are lending stability and meaning to people's and especially young people's lives. So what I want to do is I want to go through seven realities of godly friendships that are true in God's word. And again, I'm going to be looking more deeply at Ephesians 4, the beginning of Ephesians 4. Number one. Ready? Friendships. What?
Yeah, can you say the title again?
Oh. Seven realities of godly friendships that are true to God's word.
Thank you.
Yeah. Number one, friendships have the power to shape our lives. Super profound, I know. But we got to start there. We need to acknowledge how powerful friendships can be.
And
friendships have the power to shape our lives. For good or for worse, to move us forward into the greater relationship with our Creator God, or pull us back to worship an idol from an ideal that replaces who is meant to be our first love. It can be an avenue for us to live out the gospel as we extend grace to one another when we've offended or offer patience through actively caring for a struggling friend. They can foster sinful habits in condoning relationships. Number two, friendships are essential to our lives. Friendships are essential to our lives. Friendship isn't meant to be a bonus relationship. It is an important part of a whole. Okay? So I think that sometimes, and that had to be a truth that I really needed to digest, is that, and it was honestly when I knew that about Michelle, and I knew that about Jenny, and I've had various friendships along the way, but it was really when I came to Hickman that God really was like, no, this is essential because I can be so independent. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm still working this out. Talk to me when I'm 90. I might have some wisdom to share. You know, like, wait till my kids are all grown. Let me see if they're all actually walking with the Lord. You know, husband and I just celebrated 27 years yesterday. So maybe when I hit 40 years, go talk to those ladies. And I realized that friendships, God was telling me, like, no. They're not a bonus. I didn't just throw them out there and say, y'all hang out together. No, they are an essential part of the whole of how we are sanctified and how God uses us to grow us up and out of ourselves. Excuse me. I'm going to get hiccups. God uses friendships just like any other relationship to sanctify us, change us, and expose our sin. Just as Proverbs 27:17 says, and we hear it often, but digest this. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we do, right? So one woman sharpens another. Hebrews 3:12 through 13 says, take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We got to show up to do that, guys. But encourage one another every day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by this deceitfulness of sin. Our joy in Christ is to be shared together. So let me give you a little outline here. I just jumped ahead. No, sharpens iron. Okay, so to go with Hebrews 3, we are in a spiritual battle. Wars are never won by individuals. Right? They're won by armies. You are not meant to fly alone. You need wingmen. You need other people that have your back. Sometimes they have your front. I faced a difficult situation during the the birth first of my fourth son. And my oldest was getting married. We were planning that wedding. My sister is the birth mom of my son he's fully adopted by us, and we got him at birth, and I actually got to be the first one to catch him and deliver him, and that's a beautiful story of God's amazing redemption. And anyways, love to share that with you. But I was in an absolute fog of stress, of sadness. We didn't know if we were going to the birth of a broken child, an alive child, a dead child. And even leading up to it, it took my girlfriends to say, Dana, order the formula. Dana, order the diapers. Dana, you're getting edgy. Something's wrong. Because I can get a little snarky when I start getting out of my head. They carried me. But these women God placed in my life on purpose. I had no idea this baby was coming. We'd been praying about this baby because we knew he was out there. We'd been praying since Sadie, who's 17, was one. We had this sweet little name, Boaz. I thought, well, maybe we just didn't hear it right, but I'm just going to keep praying about it. God brought these girlfriends into my life so that when I was ready to crack, they were there to lead, hold me up, my wingmen, my fore, my behind. They showed me Jesus. Okay, so we are in a spiritual battle, and we are not meant to walk this alone. Underneath that number two, that friendships are essential to our lives, letter B, our joy in Christ is to be shared. That baby came out, and my husband, he had my cell phone in one hand, he had his cell phone in the other, and I was like, start texting the people. You tell them what God has done, the beauty of this brand new baby. And I mean, I pretty much threw up on my girlfriends all the details. I was like, you should have seen God in this, you should have seen God in that. Because it was a beautiful journey, and you held me up, and I want you to know, this is what God did. So our joy in Christ is to be shared, sharing with one another what the Lord is doing and has done, publicly giving glory to him. So as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, to encourage one another. I texted this week about a story about my mom, and she was like, Dana, she's in Florida. She teaches a Bible study, and the median age of the Bible study is 70 and over. And she texted me and said, or called me, one of the two, and she was like, Dana, this 70-year-old woman had her mama's Bible for her whole life. And they're doing, mom's leading the study, and they're doing Jen Wilkins' Sermon on the Mount. Yes, Jen, that one. And the ladies are like, we never knew we could study the Bible like this. Praise God. In this 55 and over community in Florida, this woman's like, comes up to my mom and says, I had no idea. Well, the pastor's wife realized the Bible she was holding, and it was a King James Version. It was quite old, and ran home. She had just bought herself another Bible, ran home, got it, and gave it to her. Well, they bought the husband another one, but the lady had already actually ordered her husband one. She had looked and figured it out and got herself one. People are growing and coming to the Lord and realizing that they can study scripture in an in-depth way. Praise God. I heard it. And then I texted my friends. I said, you need to know in this crazy time right now, look what God is doing. So joys are meant to be shared. 1 Peter 1:6-9. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes through tested fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. It's through that glory, through that testimony, that we need to be encouraging one another. Can somebody grab me a tissue? Oh, is there one right there? Thank you. Oh, tears. Okay. And letter C under that point would be, we need to encourage each other biblically. This is from the book Friendish. Biblical encouragement is giving courage and strength to a weary heart by reminding them what is true and calling them to whatever obedience lies ahead. Alone, our hearts given to unbelief and slowly wander away from Jesus. Again, you are not meant to be a lone soldier, although it feels like it. I get that. And especially if you feel self-sufficient. I get that. But we weren't meant to do it. And we have to push forward to build these friendships. I know that sometimes what feels like the easier path is to hide away and to keep ourselves. But we leave ourselves more open to temptation and sin. Those dark moments when you just can't see through the fog of a situation, or you know the temptations and the ease of sin are knocking at the door. I do. I know the things that I will fall prey to. The tiny habits that you won't see. The extra time spent on whatever it is that's frivolous. I'm not even going to say it because you'd be like, oh, damn, that's no big deal. I'm like, yeah, but really, the bathroom doesn't need to be cleaned again. I mean, you know, there's something to be said by a clean floor, and I just might go clean it again because I'm avoiding a harder situation. Hebrews 10:24-25 said, let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is my favorite quote out of the book, Friendish. Our calling is a corporate one. Following Jesus is an individual assignment, following Jesus is an individual decision, but not an individual assignment. We are a chosen race, not a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, not a royal priest. We are a holy nation, a people for his own possession. We are not on this journey by ourselves. Of course, that comes from 1 Peter 2:9 that says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, proclaiming his excellencies to each other. I need to know what God's doing in you. Even if it's a struggle, I need to know you're struggling. And you know what? If I may have something that I can say, you know what? Don't forget God's this. Don't forget the scripture says this. You know what? I know a book, right? I know a person. So number three, we know how to book it. Man, I'm really going for it here. Number three, true friendship is rooted and grounded in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:14-20. Here, I'll say that again. True friendship is rooted and grounded in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:14-20. And this is going to lead us into Ephesians 4. So here's where God took me. I was camping. Oh, let me give you a brief background. I was listening to a podcast, a marriage podcast, and they had a counselor on there. And again, I'm a junkie for like continuing education. You know, like let me read about friendship. Let me read about marriage. Let's talk about this. And it was Ephesians 4 that this counselor was talking about, and it was months ago, but it kept coming back to my heart and to my mind. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to dig in. I don't know about, you know, the friendship thing. I don't know where, but, and I wrestled and wrestled. And finally I realized, I'm like, that's what you're trying to teach me. Okay. So track me. All right. For this reason, I bend my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives his name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, huge key, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, us, what is the width and length and height and depth, and, three, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. If we don't digest and understand that our position in Christ is rooted and grounded in the love of our Savior and his mighty work on the cross, then we will not be willing to choose the unselfish path of laying down our lives for one another. Let me repeat that one more time. If we don't understand and digest that our position in Christ is rooted and grounded in the love of our Savior and his mighty work on the cross, then we will not be willing to choose the unselfish path of laying down our lives for one another. Friendship in this world, at its root, is selfish and self-seeking. In Christ, friendship rooted in Christ seeks to love and looks outward toward the other person. So in chapter 4, Paul moves from explaining our position in Christ to earnestly appealing to the church in Ephesus to actively live in unity, rooted in love, surrounded by a cord of bond, a cord or bond of peace. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner of worthy of your calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's move to number 4. True friendship is humble and gentle. We're gonna lasso all these together in the end. True friendship is humble and gentle. And that comes from Ephesians 4, where it talks about we're to walk in our manner, the manner worthy of our calling, with all humility and gentleness or meekness. True friendship that walks in humble, is humble and gentle, knows the broken state it was saved from. And we heard that up front from Glenna. And extends that mercy and grace to others. So let me say it this way. When you know and understand the depth of your sin and depravity, how much you have been forgiven of, you actively extend that up to others. That does not mean that you're not going to get hurt. That does not mean that friendships may fall, you know, will fall apart. There's going to be some of them. But you're actively extending grace. And I would extend this grace, this message, this part of this message, to even people within your family. Not just this body of Christ, but think about this as a whole, in a large whole. I'll tell you, I struggled through something this summer in this harvest with some different relationships. And I got blindsided by it. And I went to my husband and I said, okay, just tell me, is there something I need to repent of here? Like, is there something, where did I go wrong? He's like, you know what? Here's what I think these certain individuals don't understand. They were family members. They don't know this about you. Give it some time. But here's what I'll say to you. Do not build the wall. And actually, he said it much gentler because he's super gentle. And he said, don't build the wall, Dana. You will build a wall. You'll show up. You'll be the friend. You'll be the servant. You'll be the mother. But you will know how you're not going to get hurt again. How many of you could do that? I will tell you, there are people that have hurt me in this church. I have built the wall. I have walked into this church going, okay, yeah, I'm going to be a friend. I'm going to serve, but I will not put myself in that position again. That renders me totally ineffective. That is not who I want to be. That is not what I want to be in Christ. So Lord, take the bricks. Take down the wall. God was gracious to do this as I was writing this, to show me in living in humility and in gentleness and giving out the forgiveness that has been given to me. I can't build a wall. I can be effective, but it's only rooted in love and understanding for forgiveness and grace. Okay, let's move on to number 5. True friendship is patient, both when confronted and when encouraging growth. Sometimes people don't get it. Okay, I'm going to repeat that one more time. True friendship is patient. It's long-suffering when confronted and patient to encourage growth. When I'm talking about being confronted. Either you being confronted or you having to confront somebody else, they may not get it right away. Let me preface this. You have to pray. Okay? This whole thing, you pray before you enter church, before you're with your sisters, you pray. Right? God, give me honesty. I don't want to build the wall. Let me be your hands and feet. Encourage me through my sisters. That's breaking down the wall, right? And sometimes when you need to, you've built this relationship with somebody, they're in your life, you see like, oh, they're headed down this path. True friendship patiently comes to them and says, you know, you might want to think this part through, right? Let me step back. And then we show up again. So how's that going? Okay, now what about this? Awesome. It doesn't level down the hammer. You know what? You hurt me. Here, I'm laying it all out. Now I'm building the wall. Maybe long suffering looks like, God, where is this person coming from? Why did they respond to me in that way? Why were they not gentle? I mean, how many times have you gotten back to a friend? Like, I'll hear words come out of my mouth, and I realize the way I said something was not the way I intended it, but I know if I heard it, I would be offended by it. So I go to the friend, I'm like, I said this like that, but here's how I heard myself say it, but that's not my intention. Did I hurt you? And more often than not, it's like, oh no, I totally didn't take it that way. I'm like, great, my issue. You know, that's how I'm gonna hear it. Patient to encourage growth. We are all, and that this goes under that patience, we're on a journey, right? There are times, I remember when we came here and Andy dropped a truth bomb in one of the classes that I was doing. And I'm just like, how did I miss that on this walk, you know? And I realized it was humbling because it was a part of theology. And I was just like, how did I miss that? I've been a Christian for this long. And I realized, well, it's a patient walk. God is patient with me. He's long-suffering. Thank you, Jesus, for, you know, that kind of fine-tuned another area of actually my doctrine, too. So remembering that. Okay, let's keep tracking. Actually, that was number four, huh?
No, number five.
Oh, that was number five? Okay, thanks. Number six, true friendship unifies. It doesn't cause division. And I know this. Oh, let me repeat that. True friendship unifies and doesn't cause division. This might be a no duh, but we're women. We can divide with a look. Right? Yeah, we can. I don't think I need to go on and on about that. But it unifies, it doesn't cause division. It doesn't divide the body of Christ. Just like in Proverbs, it says, a perverse person spreads strife, and a gossiper or a slanderer separates close friends. You know. I've had situations where I walked in to meet certain people, and there's the one person that's going to fill me in on everything. And I'm like, how do I backpedal out? How do I pull back from this situation? You see, you don't want to be that person. We do not divide the body of Christ. We take our grievances towards one another. We share our joys quietly. We praise God sometimes corporately. But it's with prayer that we don't divide our sisters from one another. Everything we do, we lay that path of prayer before ourselves. Moving forward, if you are a gossiper, just stop. You're dividing the body. If you gossip, just repent right now, right there, because you're building a wall. You're building a wall of your effectiveness in the body of Christ. I want to be a tool in my master's hand. If I'm just rusty and he can't open up the wrench because I'm out there just, you know, just slightly gossiping and so well and how about that? And we don't want that. Lay it down. Check your mouth at the door. Stop justifying. I'm speaking to me too, okay? Stop justifying. Now, I will tell you this. There have even been relationships in this church. I have had people who know me, you know, have defined me by my Christian walk. And I have gone to them and said, I'm trying to understand this situation quietly with you. Would you help me respond in the appropriate way? And they have. They've given me that wisdom. There is a time and a place to go to a sister and say, I don't want to screw this up. I'm kind of feeling hurt and I don't know how to respond to this sister. But it, again, it's prayerful and it doesn't divide. And that friend can look at me and say, okay, this is where she's come from. Not breaking confidence. This is where she's come from. This is the situation. So that paints a better picture for me to go, oh, that's why she said it the way she did. Or that's why she speaks this way. Okay, I got it. So I'm extending grace by trying to figure out the situation. And now I'm going to extend grace to that sister who is clearly different than me, speaks different than me, might even be slightly unnerved by me. But I want to be in communion with that sister. I don't want to divide. So there is a time and a place for that. Okay, number 7, right? Okay, last one. True friendship keeps the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. That kind of plays with what I just talked about. True friendship keeps the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. We are united. This is so good. We are united to all who are united to Christ. If you sit here and you are a daughter of the King, if you have laid down your life at the cross and picked up his, you're united to me. It is a mystery. You are my sister, forever my sister, sealed in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I got goosebumps saying it. What powerful mystery is that? Nowhere else on this earth. You may be completely different than me. I may have awkward habits that you're just like, seriously? But you know what? We're united. I will cheer you on. We may not have time to be best friends. Our personalities may not even be best friends, you know, that close. And even Jesus had his few, and then he had his few more, and then he had his few more, right? But we are bound in our unity with Christ. There are so many women, even within this church, I wish I had time to get to know. And I need to prayerfully come before the Lord. And I do. I'm like, Lord, who else? Sometimes I'll go to another sister and be like, hey, I want to get to know this person. I want to have them over. And it may be like the only time I get to have them over, just because our lives go in so many different directions and things fall apart or whatever. But can you come too? And like, we'll get to know her together. You know, so that weight of like, I have to, because, you know, some girlfriends are just so whimsical. They have so many questions. I'm thinking of you too. I mean, so they're so good at asking questions. And I'm not. I'll listen and then I'm slowly warming up. I totally want to hang out. And if you want to go for a run or, you know, that whole thing. But it's something I need to work on. And I love learning from my sisters who are just good at asking questions. So to summarize that, we are united to all who are united to Christ. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I would say love comes with respect for one another. And that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. John 17:21. That was what God taught me through Ephesians 4:3-4. And I'm hoping maybe you can take that home and just prayerfully think through those and ask the Lord, like, what am I missing here? Or maybe, yeah, you have a ton of friends, but how am I doing with those friendships? Are these friendships encouraging? Are they dividing? Are they loving? Are they edifying? What do we do? We call ourselves believing sisters. How do we spend our time together? Are we condoning sins? You know, do we do things that maybe, I'm going to pick on one that's real, you know, simple and not too bad. But, like, do we go out and just blow a bunch of money together? You know, do we spend a ton of, do we just go shopping all the time? And we both know we shouldn't be doing it, but we do, and we make each other feel good about it, right? Now, I'm all about the shopping, so don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there have been times I'm like, okay, I have this much money. I'm not pulling out the credit card. Hold me to that. And my girlfriend, you know, a couple of them know me really well, and they'll be just like, really? Is that really you? Is that your life? I'm like, no, okay, and I'll put it back, you know. I mean, it sounds silly, but think about that in all areas of life. I've got this. How do I steward it? What are we going to do with it together? So we are going to close up. I already shared my what God has taught me through this experience, this past harvest season, which he has been so gracious to do and to continue to grow me and really challenge me not to build those walls. Your sisters in Christ are not here by an accident. You are not part of the church by accident. You were called and saved to the church. You are united to Christ. You are united to the sisters in this room. You aren't ever meant to be all things to all people. Nor can you be tight-knit with all the amazing women that come into your life. But we are called to look out for each other. So my challenge to you is, what does that look like for each relationship in your life? Or do you even have them? How can you reach out to those people in your life? I want you to brainstorm, what are ways that you can meet up in the season that you're in? I'll tell you about a seasonal friendship that God blessed me with. Mike and I were really struggling in our marriage, and we're actually going to a counselor. I think it's been about 15 years ago. And Mike gave me permission because I believe in keeping your husband's secrets. You don't just go, you know, tell your girlfriends everything. And he gave me permission to go ahead and talk to Michelle, being one of them, and my friend Grace. And we met for about 2 months. And they kept me sane as Mike and I were having our relationship refined by the holy fire. Grace was there, man. That woman had a red phone to God. She prayed and bam, it happened. She had 5 children. Her husband previously had left her, said, I'm done, thought he would go off and do his own thing. Do you know what Grace did? Grace said, fine. Just come to dinner as my friend. You don't have to touch me. You don't have to be my husband. Just come be my friend. Come hang out with our children. I will serve you in friendship. She won him back. She won him back by the grace of God. It was through the power of friendship. She won her husband. Take that one home. Take that one home. And Grace was there for that season of my life to encourage me because she had walked it. She spoke truth to me. She gave me a kick in the hiney when I needed it. She told me to guard my tongue. She told me not to divide. I got pregnant with my 3rd son, Zeke. And Mike and I had been refined. We had worked through it. My girlfriends knew about it. I got pregnant with Zeke. And after having Zeke, I came out of that birth. And I was like, I told Grace and Michelle, I said, that was the most spiritual birth I have ever had. Mike and I were tight. I remember hanging on to the edge of the bed in the hospital. And Mike's belly was warmth up behind me. You know, I could feel the presence of God in all my labor pains. And I felt the labor of working through my marriage as I gave birth to this baby boy. And I kid you not, I looked at Grace and I'm like, it was amazing. It was so spiritual. God was there. And she goes, that's what I prayed for. I'm like, of course you did. Grace, I haven't seen her in years. But God brought her in that season. And that's okay. Sometimes you have to say goodbye to a friend. Okay. So, some wisdom from me and you. I want you to share very quickly. Oh, no, we're doing okay. Take your time. Okay, so consider here. So let's talk about different seasons of life and making friendships, because some of you, I'm just like, I know, you know, it's hard. You're like, how do I do this? And then other seasons, you feel like you can just, you know, gather them in. Some of you are like, I'm good with just a couple. I'm like, okay, you've got those couple of friends, but you also have other sisters out there. And just like maybe the sisters in your family, some of them you're super tight with, some of them you barely see, you still need to actively be working on tying those heartstrings. One of the things that my mother-in-law taught me, she was cute. She had a little basket. I think it was Days of Emily Barnes. Some of you will remember Emily Barnes if you've ever read her books. Yeah. Well, she had like a devotional basket, and she would put her Bible, and she put her journal, and she had a candle, and she had a tea, and she had, you know, all the cute things. And then she always had note cards in there, because whoever God laid on her heart, with a stamp on the envelope, and whoever God laid on her heart, she would write that note and get it sent out that day. I'm like, that's awesome. My challenge is to you, send the text. If you can allow me to say it, get off of Instagram, send the text. Encourage your sisters with an encouraging word from God, or that, you know what? I got no words, but you're on my heart. I love you. Press on. Do you know how much that means to me? Just press on, Dana. Keep going. Press on towards the goal of Christ. Right? And it's a race analogy, a running analogy that totally speaks my language. Press on. I'm like, thank you, sister. I she's there. Our hearts are tied. So I encourage you that I think a lot of our time and a lot of our friendships are getting soaked up by these counterfeit friendships that we think we have on social media. And yeah, I do hammer at that, because I can be guilty of that, because especially with teenage kids and stuff, I keep up with some of their friends like that. I know what's going on. I get Instagram messages from them like, Dana, I'm scared, or Mrs. Ernst, I'm scared. I don't know how to grow up in this world. Oh, baby, let me tell you about Jesus. And that breaks my heart, because this has been a recent thing. And there are times and places for that, so I don't want to completely dog that. I couldn't find a better word. Hang out with teenagers. I don't want to completely shut that down. But ladies, just like you can hide in the social media world, or hide in your knitting, or hide in your quilting, or your running, or your exercising, those things are never going to fulfill what Jesus can give you. And the only way that you can be a sister to one another, to me, is if you get into the Word of God and if you pray. I need you to do that. With the climate of our world right now, I need you to do that. And I need to be there for you, to encourage you, to pray for you. There's a few of you in here who were on my heart through these whole past few months, because I knew where you were and what you were doing. And I was praying, because God put you there. So I've already talked about, in different seasons of life, call up and go for a walk. Park days, exercise, the quick go for a run. There's different seasons I can get up. Oh, time. Whoa, what time am I supposed to? Holy smokin'oli. Okay. Anybody else? I put this in your, okay, here. I'm gonna paint this last analogy. I filled my time. So I'm gonna paint this. The women used to go to the well and get their water, right? You know what I'm talking about? They would go to the well, they get their water, they would come back to the house. Ladies, how do you get to the well? Where's the well that we're gonna meet? Do you have any ideas, real quick? What was that?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, yes. Practically, what does that look like?
Church.
Show up. The Word, studying a scripture together. What else? What about creating a meal? You take half, I take half, we take it to that woman. We've met together at the well, at the living water. So let me end this here, and I'm going to flip these around really quickly. I had no idea at the time. I'm going to flip these around really fast. And these are some of, and yeah, I use blue tape because I kind of thought it went with the comb. And I live on a farm, and I'm big on blue tape and labeling. So anyways, these are some of the lies that are being fed to you off of social media. Believe in yourself. No, do not tell me to believe in myself. Tell me to believe in Jesus. Tell me that what you see in me means that I can move forward. Give me my strength. Take me back to my foundation. A friend is someone who gives you total freedom to be yourself. Oh no, if I'm sinning, call me out, please. If I have a filthy mouth, call me out, please. Soul sister, a female friend not related by blood, who shares a bond that transcends time and space and distance. Traits include listening, fully understanding without judgment or solution, knowing the right thing to say, sharing belongings or desserts, and regularly reminding one another of their beauty. Do I even need to say it? That is not my soul sister. My soul sister points out Jesus, and she said, you know what? You're beautiful in Christ, right? I don't see the 10 pounds. I don't see the wrinkles. I see you, and you need to go and do good. Last one. I no longer force things. What flows, flows. What crashes, crashes. I only have space and energy for the things that are meant for me. So if you hurt me, goodbye. Don't listen to those messages, ladies. Don't listen to those sisters. Don't. Stay with me. Stay with each other. Come to the well together. Gather our water. Feed each other with the living water of Jesus. Be encouraged. I love you. Thank you for listening.